Hi, and welcome to this edition of Rush Hour. I'm your host, Harold Lee Rush, and it is my extreme pleasure to have on the line Miss Bernadette Stanis, mostly known as Thelma from Good Times. How are you today, Miss Stanis?
I'm fine. How are you, Harold?
I'm doing outstanding. Can I call you Bernadette?
You can call me Bernadette.
Okay. First thing, let's talk about the fact that, for me, you have always represented this outstanding woman who always carried yourself with dignity and class and grace. And from everything I've seen and heard about you since the show, you seem to have continued that. So I just want to congratulate you on that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Originally, you were born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
You actually went to Juilliard School of Music.
Yes, I went to Juilliard School of Music, but for drama.
And you also were in the Miss New York pageant, where you first were informed about the casting of a new TV show?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I was in a beauty pageant, and it was that, it was the last, actually it was the last Sunday of the pageant before the big pageant, and before the show. And a manager came over to my mom and just said, you know, your daughter looks like she could fit in this part. Norman Lear is looking for a daughter to fit into the series that he's put together. And they have all the cast members except for the daughter. And would your daughter go try out for the part? So that's when we went to CBS and went into the room, and I met Norman Lear, and Jimmy Walker was there. And we started to audition, and they gave me the script. And I read the script and everything, but it just was kind of not flowing. It just was stiff to me. So I turned to Norman and I said, Mr. Lear, would it be okay if I just improvised?
Wow.
And then he looked at me and like, okay, just do something, you know, just do whatever. And so Jimmy was looking at me like, whoa, you know what? And I started in on him, arguing with him. I said, look, brother, let me tell you something. And they both looked at each other and was like, where did she come from with this? But see, actually, you know, I'm from the projects. I'm from the ghetto. I have a brother. So I taught my brother like that. So I just did what I do.
And needless to say, you got the part. It's interesting that you have managed to come through that whole Hollywood piece without losing your mind. But one of the things I am curious about is, for most of us, you are Thelma. You will always be Thelma. What allowed you to become comfortable and accept that?
Well, you know, I really realized that no one ever knew anything about me before Good Times. So when the first time anyone was introduced to me was Thelma. Of course, they know I'm an actress, but Thelma seemed to have stuck in everyone's homes. It's like a, you know, it's like a relative that you meet and you know her all of her life, a certain name, and then she comes back to town and she's all dude up and she says, now my name is something else. And you're looking at it like she's crazy. So, I mean, like, Thelma is like my name. And, like, if I meet my fans and I say, no, my name, no, don't call me Thelma. My name is Bernadette Sanders. They look at me like, oh, okay. You know, it's like way off the chart. So it's like, you know me as Thelma. You can call me Thelma. I respond to Thelma and it's fine.
That really is balanced, because for a lot of folk who did certain roles that they became identified with, they hate it. They grew to hate it. You know.
Well, I love my character. You know, I love my character, and I love Good Times. So I guess it's such fond memories for me. I just don't mind it.
So it was kind of like, in some ways, it was kind of like a family of folks?
It was a family of folks. It actually was a family of folks. And, you know, it was beautiful back then, because if you were hired by Norman to do one of the shows and he really enjoyed your personality or he thought you were very, very talented, he never would forget you. You would always go to another show or be invited back again or end up having your own show.
Mm.
You know,
okay.
So he was, you know, it was very interesting back then. It's so different than it is today. And, you know, even back then, it was like being in a little community of Hollywood, because it wasn't that many, and especially wasn't that many black people, you know, doing a lot back then on television or in the movies. So we all, like, knew each other. It was kind of a small little clique. It was nice back then, you know.
Wow.
In fact, it was so funny. I was looking through some old pictures of mine, and I happened to see a picture taken at Richard Pryor's house, because, you know, Richard Pryor was one of the guys that used to give all the parties, and Red Fox was the other one.
Mm.
So this particular time, we were at Richard Pryor's house, and we were, like, sitting on a couch or something, and I came across a picture of me sitting next to Michael Jackson with my little hand on his face, close to mine. It was so cute.
Really?
I almost forgot I had this picture.
Eric Monte. Just talk a little bit about Eric Monte.
Eric Monte,
credited with creating Good Times. And for those that don't know who Eric Monte is, he also wrote Coolie High and also created What's Happening, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was an exceptionally talented man and still is. He sees things in a lot of ways, a lot of dimensions. He also wrote Good Times with another writer and producer called Michael Evans.
Michael Evans, right.
Now, this is very interesting, because now that we were on tour, myself and Ralph Carter, who played Michael Evans, my little brother, we were on tour this summer, because he has a CD out, and he also has a book that he's working on. So we were on tour together, and it was so cute. But it's so interesting that everyone said, oh, my God, Michael Evans, I thought that he, you know, passed away.
Mm.
And it was so horrible, because people did think it was really Ralph Carter that passed away. So,
you know, I recall that. And
I
remember that, it was Michael Evans who played Lionel Jefferson.
Yes.
On the
and
Jefferson.
Michael Evans wrote Good Times along with Eric Monte, so that's why Ralph Carter played the character Michael Evans. So when they said Michael Evans, everybody started thinking Ralph Carter. It was horrible for him for a while, because everybody thought he was the one who passed. But actually, 2 years ago, the real Michael Evans passed away.
Now, as I understand it, Ralph teaches school, right, in New York?
Yes, he's a professor. He's also, I mean, he's traveled the world. I mean, he's lived in Africa for several years.
Really?
He speaks fluent. You know, there's a language. I said Igbo.
Igbo, okay.
Yeah, he speaks fluently. And so, I mean, he's actually, he turned out just like the character. Brilliant.
Well, I don't want to get to anything that's too painful, but I have to ask you about the time period when James was written out of the show. So take us back to that time period, because that really hurt.
Well, you know what? Like in all families, when you lose a family member, you're going to miss them. It's going to hurt. But, you know, there are people in the world who lose their fathers. And fortunately, Good Times was there to heal, to help heal. And when you do lose a family member, how you handle it, how you deal with it. And we helped a lot of people in that way also. But for us, losing John the way we did, for me as a child on the show, and as for Ralph Carter, which was Michael Evans, on the show, we were the two that had no concept of what they were doing up there, because we were young. And a lot of stuff didn't come to us. It came to Esther, it came to John, it came to Alone, it came to everyone else, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when we went to the reading, which was on a Friday, and we read for the next week's show, I noticed that John wasn't there, and Ralph noticed he wasn't there, and so I'm thinking, well, maybe John is late, because now we're starting to read, because we never read without all of the characters. So we're starting to read, and I'm thinking, And so all of a sudden, they talk about, you know, a telegram came and when John was killed. I'm like, what? But in my mind, this is impossible, because I heard nothing about this. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe it's a mistake. You know, at the end of the show, they're going to reveal that the mistaken identity is not him. You know,
wow.
And he's going to come home. I'm thinking all this now till we get to the last little line of the show, and I don't see him coming back, and I don't see a mistake being made, and he's gone. And I'm like, what? Now, that's how I found out. So I really blame kind of the producers for the shock. They should have at least said, John is going to be written out of the show for you know, now this is how we're going to do it. They should have said something, but they said nothing. And so when you see me on that show doing that part, that is real. It's like I really lost him because it was like, oh, my God, this is so sudden. And this really, we're going to have to do this show without him?
The show went on for four more years, but it was never, it was missing something. And then it was missing even more when you all became parentless altogether.
Yeah, they abandoned us completely. And so therefore, we just have Alona as the aunt taking care of us, you know, neighbor. But you know what? I also noticed, I thought about that because throughout the years, I go to different places and I talk about good times. And people mention just what you just mentioned. And I start thinking about it. But if you think about it, good times went through a lot of dynamics, a lot of family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of could address a lot of people. Because if you think about it, the first time we have our mommy and our dad,
right,
the whole family, then you have a mother without a dad.
Right.
Then you have children trying to make it living with a surrogate parent,
right,
a neighbor. Then you have
mom come back for a minute.
Come back with a father, with a stepfather. So now we got a stepfather. So if you look at good times, and then we have an adopted child.
Right. Right.
We adopt, of course, well, if Alona adopt her, then, you know, we adopt her.
Right.
Because we have to adopt Alona. So, you know what I'm saying? So it was like that type of family dynamic. So if you look at it, we kind of addressed a lot of different family issues.
Talking about situations 101, relationships, the good, the bad, and the ugly. For those who don't know, this is Bernadette Stanis' book, and it is available on your website at thelmaofgoodtimes.com. In situations 101, it says, Bernadette Stanis shares 101 relationship dilemmas.
I have a revised version of the book. In other words, I had to add in my disclosure in there because people were thinking that these situations were mine. I had to make sure that I let them know that these are not all my situations. Please understand that. But I came up with 101 situations because, you know, I always loved psychology, and I am a very good listener, and I do give pretty good advice. You know, I just thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I give good advice in relationships. Now, along my travels, doing all the plays that I've done and all the, you know, things I've done across the country, I've met so many people, men and women. I befriend them, and we talk, and they ask me questions, and I give them good advice on their relationships. But I've heard a lot of things, very disturbing things, actually, and some very good things, and some in the middle of the road things. But what I heard was repeated over and over. People were seeming to go through the same types of things all the time. It was, to me, it looked like the climate of the day, the climate of this time. And it was the same type of relationship problem. So I said, you know, something should be done about this. I mean, things that we talk about in relationships to each other and out in the open, we really don't really talk about what is really at the heart of this stuff. Now, the things that I hear in the middle of the night when people call me boo-hooing, crying, and having a problem are quite different than what they would tell their friends outside. And I said, you know what? A lot of times we can't talk out with these things that are going on within us. So I said, well, maybe if I could just put them down in a book and put some ideas down, some solutions down, some things that I feel about it, possibly it can help people when they read it, you know, even though they don't want to bring it out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could read it and it could possibly help them. Because sometimes you can't go to someone that you know.
Right.
Sometimes you can't. So that's why people would always come to me, because I would never meet the people they were talking about.
But that is so amazing to me. I can see you out at a personal appearance, and people are coming up to you telling you their most intimate stuff, like you, Thelma.
Well, like I'm Thelma because they feel comfortable with me and they know me, but they also know that I can't gossip about them because, you know, I can't talk about, you know, their friends because I don't know them. I only know them.
That's
so
true.
So, you know what I'm saying? So if they felt safe telling me things, you know? Right, they did. And I learned some things you would not believe, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Every single situation in that book is absolutely real.
Wow.
It has happened to someone. And I mean, there are some bizarre ones in there, but there are also some very interesting ones. Like, she liked him, but he liked me. That was a very
interesting
one. Okay. Yeah. That was interesting. My boyfriend has a revolving head. You know, these are the lightweight ones I'm giving you right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, okay. Well, you got me thoroughly absorbed. And I think about one of the episodes of the show that came to my mind as I was reading was the episode that you did with, I can't think of the actor's name, but nobody had seen him. And turned out he was in a halfway house and he was a bigamist.
That's funny. That is so funny because, you know, we thought he was married because he could never be reached at night.
Night, right. And I remember there was a thing, I think it was Winona, who went through the five signs of a married man.
Yeah, of a married man, and he fit all of them.
Yes, yes. And, you know, but now think about that. That was back then in the show. But those five things are still, in many ways, still relevant today.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought that out because I would love to say this because this is so true. When you look at Good Times and it's 30 years later, the amazing thing about that show is that it still relates to what's happening today.
Yeah.
That's a very important note because it shows you a lot. It shows you that on a whole, we have not moved very far.
Let's talk for a minute about a book of poetry called For Men Only.
It's so interesting because I had a few ladies read the book, buy the book, read the book, tell me about the book. They said, hey, we like these poems ourselves. One lady said to me, oh, you know what I did? I retyped one of your poems, and I gave it to my man like I wrote it.
Oh.
I said, no, you did not. Yes, I did. That's okay.
What caused you to decide to call it For Men Only?
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened. After I wrote Situations 101, I wrote this book, not knowing how it was going to affect my audience, I automatically thought that, you know, men would think relationship books are for women and they wouldn't deal with it. So I said, well, you know, it's just not fair because I know that my male fans love me so much. They've always treated me well, and I felt kind of funny. I felt bad not having something for them. And I sat there and I said, I am going to create just something just for them. And that's when I came up with my little book, For Men Only, and it's just for my male fans. And I wrote a little love letter in there for them, and it was really, they love it. You know, they love the book. But then when I started to go out to sell the book Situations, they love Situations also. So it was very interesting that I learned that the men love Situations as well as the women, and the women love For Men Only as well as the men.
Bernadette, I could talk to you all day long. I really appreciate you taking the time that you've taken. Let's go back over a couple of things. First of all, your website is ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com. That's where you can find the books, Situations 101, as well as the poetry book For Men Only.
Well, I just want to say that we all have special dreams within us at all ages of our lives. And I do believe that if you follow your dream, you'll always be happy. And sometimes we think that our dreams are gone or over, but let me tell you something. They're never gone, and they're never over.
Thank you so much, Bernadette Stanis.
Bring your head up above water, making a way when you can.
Temporary layoffs.
Good Times.
Good Times is recorded on tape before a live audience.
We got 'em.